Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from Luke 11. I read verse 1 as text verse for the sermon. Luke 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. We also use the Heidelberg Catechism, as we have read from Lord's Day 45, question answer 119. And the theme for the sermon is, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Congregation, children, imagine that you have to go upstairs in the evening, and it's dark upstairs, and you have to go there all by yourself. The big house, you feel alone. When it's dark, you feel scared. Does that happen sometimes? What are you doing then, children? I'm sure some children will start to talk. They start to talk because if they make noise, if they talk, then they don't feel so alone, and they feel more safe. It's not so hard to go there in the darkness, to be there all by yourself. And so they talk, and they talk. It doesn't make sense, but they talk, and they feel better. Some people would mock about prayer and say that's what prayer is. It's like a child talking in the darkness. It doesn't make any sense, but it makes you feel better. Is that true? No, certainly not. That's certainly a lie, and those who mock this way show clearly their ignorance about prayer, that they don't have the experience of being heard by an Almighty God, a God hearing your prayer. But maybe some of us do, although they wouldn't mock with prayer like this. They wouldn't deny the reality of prayer. You struggle with it. Or maybe you gave up to struggle with prayer. We, probably all of us, at least most of us, our parents taught us to pray, isn't it? We learn to pray while we are still very young. They're folding our hands and saying words, and we repeated them, and they were teaching us to pray. They told us to pray when we grew a little bit older, pray. Pray for yourself. You need to pray, my child. And you did. But over the years, what happened in your life? Maybe slow but certain, the feeling came in your life, what is the use of prayer? Maybe you're kind of caught in this question, or even in this doubt, and you feel like, well, it's useless, and you did it less and less. You actually quit prayer. You don't pray anymore. Is there someone here who's in that spot, who's in that situation? That's honest that you say that. Maybe others here, they say the words, they know by heart, they repeat certain words, they made it a habit. Is it really prayer what you do? Oh, how good it is that the Lord is teaching us to pray in His Word by teaching His disciples. Like we read here in this chapter, one of His disciples is asking Him the question, Lord, teach us to pray. I would say that's a beautiful prayer. I hope you pray it. Lord, teach us to pray. It's simple, it's clear, it's showing our need, And it's showing expectation from the Lord. What else belongs to a wonderful prayer? Teach us to pray. We don't know if it was one of the 12 disciples or one of the 70 who were sent out by the Lord Jesus, or one of the larger, the greater circle of disciples following the Lord Jesus. One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples. Why this question? Well, we can think about several reasons, but one of the reasons is mentioned here, or two. It says, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. So they have seen the Lord Jesus praying. It was clear, they saw that he had a life of prayer, and a certain time, a certain spot, they see him in prayer. And there are several examples that the disciples were witnesses of the prayer life of the Lord Jesus. One of them is when he is praying in the garden, kneeling down, laying in the dust before his Father. That can help. The position of our body can help when we kneel down, to also bring humility in our hearts. But there are different ways to pray. We also remember John 17, which we call the high priestly prayer. And so also here, the disciples have witnessed the prayer of the Lord Jesus. It makes it immediately clear that the prayer life of the Lord Jesus was not only that he would pray during the day, like talking to his Father in whatever situation he was, but he also had, I hope you do that too, but he also had certain times, special times, that he would dedicate for prayer. Time he spent in prayer, which you could see, as his disciples could see. I hope you do that too. Like Daniel had 3 times a day that he would pray with open windows in the direction of Jerusalem. And I'm sure this man was praying during his work with all the responsibilities he had, seeking wisdom from the Lord. But he also had his times that he would pray, and that's what the Lord Jesus has. So here's a lesson that an example is so important. Do our children hear us and see us in prayer? The children of the Lord Jesus, you could say, his disciples saw him praying, and it made such an impression upon them that they had a desire to pray like he did. Teach us to pray. And there's another example, because they say, as John, which is John the Baptist, also taught his disciples. So never forget about the power of examples. Let there be examples of our prayer life. Let we be examples to others, and let it be seen that we have a life of prayer. Not to make a show of it, not like the Pharisees standing in the corner of the street and making a show of it, lifting their hands. Well, that's not wrong as such, but they wanted people to see them. Oh, these are really pious and religious people. And it was all about themselves. No, not that way, but in a way that it would be a blessing to others, like the Lord Jesus did. Lord, teach us to pray. And the Lord Jesus is doing that. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, and then we read the words of the Lord's Prayer. But there is some difference. A few words are different from the other place in the Gospels where we read the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6. Like here in Catechism, in the answer, and that is taken from Matthew 6. So in those lines are a few words different. And also we see that here in Luke 11, we do not have the doxology, which we find in Matthew 6. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Why? Yeah, you ask yourself that question. But there is at least this lesson in it, you could say, that Scripture doesn't want us to make a slave from exactly the same words. No, there is some freedom in using different words. Although we have to say this prayer of the Lord is the most perfect example of prayer from the most perfect teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not that the Lord wants us to be enslaved or bound to exactly every word, to use it exactly always in the same way. No, there's some freedom in the way we pray. It's more important that prayer is a matter of the heart, like the Lord Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, in spirit and in truth. But still, we receive a lot of teaching. We shouldn't forget that either. It's not only that we say, oh, it's a matter of the heart, so we just do what comes in our thoughts, imagination. No, at the same time, although it has to be a matter of the heart, it's so important that we receive teaching from the Word, that we get guidance from the Word about how to pray. The Lord Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. And it's good to examine our own prayer life in the light of the most perfect prayer. And by the way, it's good that we sometimes, that we do teach our children certain words which they can memorize to pray. I mean, that's what the Lord Jesus does also. He's giving them words which they can use for their prayer. And even more important, probably a pattern, you could say, kind of a model to instruct them what is important in prayer. So it's good if parents, let us do that, that we teach our children words that they can memorize. This is the most perfect prayer, but there are other ways to, there are other prayers which are very biblical, which we can teach our children, and they memorize and they pray. But also at a certain time, moment in their life, we tell them, you can add your own prayers. You may ask other things from the Lord about your soul, about needs in your life, and we try to teach them to pray. And now, if you think about families, it's so important that fathers, in the light of this scripture part as well, we can think about the importance that fathers in families give an example to the children of prayer. I would like to urge you, fathers, to be like a priest in your family. I know many of us do that, but it might be that there are some that struggle with it, that don't know how to do that. The best is, of course, right away when you marry, that you, or even before marrying, that you start to pray aloud together. And you say, well, I find it so difficult. Well, you're not the first one, because the disciples were asking the question, teach us to pray. But you should do it. I mean, there are other things you find difficult. You probably found it difficult when you started your new job, isn't it? I know this is different, but you still did it. So many things that are difficult, you do them because you feel they are important. Well, this is very important. So pray aloud in your family, And if you say, I really cannot do it, I cannot find the words, then use those words. Or anyways, you can use those words, but start this way. And you might add some prayers from yourself later on. And try to encourage each other in marriage to do this. So that your children will hear that you pray to God. Why would you not do it? I mean, could anybody say it's too hard to pray this prayer which the Lord Jesus has been teaching his disciples? And if you still say, I cannot do it, then you have to answer the question, why not? Do you feel ashamed? What is it that is hindering you? Maybe you say, I'm not such a good person. I'm not pious enough to pray aloud in my family. Well, then that has to change. And by the way, I'm very glad that you say that. I'm very glad that you have that insight in your life, because I'm not good either. In myself, I'm not good either, but I still pray. Actually, that's an important reason that I pray, because I'm not good. I need God. I need Christ to be good enough, to be acceptable before a holy God. So you have there you have an important reason to pray. You're not good enough, so pray. Pray that God will provide for you what you don't have. And here is a beautiful example of prayer. It's like a pattern, and we will not go through the whole prayer because we all know that will follow in the other Lord's days that still come in the Heidelberg Catechism. Every prayer, every petition will be discussed. But let's see the line of the prayer. Let's try to understand the pattern of this prayer. And he said, when ye pray, say, Our Father. Well, that's wonderful. Our Father. So you could say prayer should be in childlike fear. As a child, with the love and the respect of a child towards a father. In an intimate way. Maybe some people say, well, that's why I cannot pray it. Because I don't know God like my heavenly Father in Christ. And that's very sad. That's very sad. That's a very dangerous thing. If you have to say, I don't know God as my Father in Christ. That means you are still under the wrath, under the burden of the guilt of sin. And that has to change. So you have to come to the point that you can pray this with your whole heart. But you know, the solution for this sad situation you are in is not that you turn away and say, okay, I'm not a child of God, so I cannot pray. No, that's not the solution. The solution is that you cry out to God in your need. And that God will teach you to pray. And do you think he's not willing to do that? Is there anybody who can convince me that God would turn you away if you would come this way to God? Can you give me a biblical support for that thought? Or do we have to conclude, no, that's a lie of Satan? You're kind of caught in a lie of Satan if you, yes, that's true. If you would say God would turn me away if I come as a poor beggar at his feet, then you are in the darkness of believing not the word of God, but what Satan is whispering in your heart. So that has to change. We have to know God by faith in Christ as our Heavenly Father. Otherwise we will end up in destruction. It's most terrible to be in such a spot, And today is a day to get to know the Lord this way, our Father. These words are so rich, these words are so full, our Father. Yeah, by the way, if you think about this prayer and you study it, do you find two words which we love so much? The word I and the word me. No, you won't find them. They are not in this prayer. I and me, the words we so like to speak, they are not found in this prayer. You find the words die and our and we. It's about God and it's about my neighbor. And what an exercise in an attitude, in the fear of the Lord, that it's not more me in the center, but that will change in my life. And that's another reason why it is so important to pray. And this is giving us such important instruction. It should be in childlike fear, but it should also not be in a selfish way, not in a self-centered way. That's our inclination. That's how many people, although they don't pray much, they still pray sometimes. When they are in a situation of emergency, then God is like, I say it with reference, 9/11. He has to help us in our emergency. Is that wrong? No, not as such. But if that is everything, that's wrong, because it's revealing that God doesn't mean anything for you. It's all about yourself. He has to help you out of your need. It's not that you worship Him, that you love Him, that you have surrendered to Him and that there's dedication to Him in your heart. No. So, yeah, let's think about that. This prayer is certainly not self-centered. It's so good to see that this prayer starts with the things of God, His name, His kingdom, and His will. These are the first three petitions in this prayer. It's about God. We are created for God. So lay your prayer next to this prayer and see how your prayer is. Are the things of God important to you in your prayer? When you start to pray, the first things on your mind, are these the things of God? Oh, that's grace. By nature it is not. They are my things that are on my mind. And it can easily happen that my prayer is not much more than a wish list for my own benefit. And God doesn't mean much for me. I'm not worshiping Him. I'm not concerned about His kingdom and His name and His will. Well, then we have to repent about our prayer life. And it has to change. So that God will be most important also in my prayer life. His kingdom, His name, and His will. But prayer has to do with ourselves as well. In this prayer we find that also. Prayer is also a place to bring our needs to God. For this life, all things that we need for this life, how can we provide for it? We are so weak and helpless, and we bring it to the Lord, that the Lord would provide, give us this day our daily bread. It's a most short and powerful way to express all our basic needs, you could say, our daily bread, everything we need for this life. By the way, that's not a lesson when we read this prayer. It's not very long, is it? It's so powerful, and it includes like everything. So if we think that we have to motivate God by many words, we make a mistake. It doesn't mean that we are not allowed to pray for a long time, like the Lord Jesus would spend a night in prayer. Yes, that's good. But be careful that you don't think that you have to motivate God to answer your prayer. That you make it kind of a work. Look how good I was praying. So now God has to answer. No. No, any answer of prayer is grace. So we bring our needs to the Lord for this life and for our spiritual life, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Those two go together. The attitude of repentance, which is needed to confess our sin, is also the attitude that is an attitude willing to forgive others. If you receive grace from God and forgiveness, you will be gracious to others. So these two, you cannot separate them. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What a humble prayer. It's such a humble prayer. Lord, I cannot even take care of the basic needs of life. If you think you can, you make a big mistake. And many people do think, especially in a society of wealth and prosperity, many turn away from God because it seems they don't need God. While in the poor southern part of the world, many new churches are planted. In Western Europe and America, many churches close their doors. It has to do with wealth. We think we can provide for ourselves. And that's foolish. If God will take my breath away, my strength, my health, I can do nothing. There can be an accident any moment in my life and my power and health is broken and I cannot work for my living anymore. No, I have to acknowledge daily that God is providing, even while the food is on my table, but especially also for my soul. How can I ever pay the price of all my sins? And so I pray, forgive. Forgive us our debts. What a wonder that we can pray that. There's no other solution for your debts. For all your sins that you have committed as child, as youth, as an adult. All those sins, it's like a mountain. If you try to count them, you cannot. And now this simple prayer from a humble heart. That's the key. That's the answer in our need, and forgive us our debts. And then also, so peace with God. And then also, as a fruit of that, peace with my neighbor, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I cannot keep myself in this world. This world is really a dangerous place. There's such a horrible enemy, and he is trying to destroy me. It's like a lion, that's Satan. But now I pray, and lead us. Lead us in such a way that I do not get into a situation of temptation, Lord. But then, because in temptation I have no strength, that thou would keep us, but deliver us from evil, or you could say from the evil one. That's what we need. We do not only need forgiveness, we also need to be kept by the Lord, to be delivered from all evil. And then in Matthew 6, we also read that doxology, for thine is a kingdom. Thou art so able to do it. Thou art ruling. Thou art in control. Thou art my king. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So, yeah, everything is in this prayer. And you may use your own words. You may say it in a different way. It's something of this pattern should be found in our prayers. To worship God, to make intercession for our neighbor, to bring our physical and spiritual needs to the Lord. All these aspects we find here. But to pray is not only to know the right words, it's also about our attitude, how we think, how we feel in our hearts. And so that's why the Lord Jesus is continuing and teaching them by a parable. Let us first sing before we continue. And let us sing Psalter 3:12, stanza 1 through 6. 3:12, stanza 1, I love the Lord who heard my cry and granted my request. 3:12, stanza 1 through 6. Congregation, we could call this parable the parable of the friend at midnight. So the Lord Jesus asking a question. He says, can you imagine that you would have a friend and you shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me, borrow me 3 loaves. Because there was another friend of mine in his journey. So this man or this person traveled at night, you could say, because then it's not so hot. At a certain point, he became so tired And then he knew that my house was near, and he came to my house. In his journey, he has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. I looked in my cupboards, and there was no bread anymore, no food, nothing to give to him. And yeah, in hospitality is so important, especially there and in those days. I had nothing to set before him. So what will happen then? Imagine this situation. Can you imagine that he from within shall answer and say, "Trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed." So little house, you could say a one room house. We are here all in the same room. And it will make a lot of noise to remove the bar from the door to unlock it. I cannot do that. I will wake up my children. I cannot rise and give thee. Do you think that your friend would say that? No, he wouldn't do that. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, maybe it's not that reason why he would rise and give him, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Because of his importunity. So what does that word mean, importunity? If you look it up in the original language in Greek, you could also translate it with shamelessness. So this man is so unashamed that he's bold enough to come in the midst of the night and knock at my door. Well, you know, I better rise and give him what he needs. And because, yeah, this man will not stop. He has such importunity, such a shamelessness, and he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So what does the Lord Jesus teach here? He says, well, if your friend would do this, because you come to his door in the midst of the night and show that you have that boldness, and then he will for that reason answer you and provide you, how much more will God hear your prayers? It's never midnight for God, is it? He's never asleep. Let there be, in a holy way, importunity. Let there be shamelessness. Yeah, I think we talked about that. Some people can be ashamed they don't pray because they feel, I do not deserve what I need. I'm not pious enough, religious enough, good enough to pray. Well, that's not how this friend feels. No, he has importunity. Shameless. He comes to the door. Well, let us do that in a holy way. In all our needs, come to the Lord and bring all our needs before him. And this friend is providing his friend. Well, God will do that much more. He will certainly hear your prayer. And the Lord is encouraging and urging and using three different words, as you could say, as an application of this parable. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So ask, seek, and knock. That's what we see there in the midst of the night, in the darkness. We see someone coming to the house and asking the question, "Friend, do you have some loaves for me? Because I have a visitor." And he is seeking to be provided with what he needs. And you see him knocking at the door. It's urgent. He should have it. He cannot go back without loaves. Here's a visitor. And hospitality is so important. How can he turn this person away? Or let him be hungry? So he's knocking and he's asking. And that's how our prayer should be. We seek it. We ask for it. We knock at the door. You hear something of... it becomes more intense. Asking, seeking, and knocking. It's urgent. I will not go away. Don't think that you can stay in your bed. I need the bread. Yeah, importunity. And so I say, yeah, I better provide this person. How much more will God do that? Are you discouraged in your prayer life? Well, listen to this parable. Listen to this teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer should be a matter of expectation. Ask. Seek. How can I seek? Well, you bring your needs before the Lord, but you also open your Bible and you seek. And here you find the promises of God. And you are encouraged to continue to pray. How many times do we read in Scripture? Pray without ceasing. Watch and pray. And so many times, many verses urge us, encourage us to pray. It's scriptural. Ask, seek, and knock. In that word knock, there's something of the urgency, but also the perseverance. I need it. Oh yeah, the man in his bed thinks, well, he will not go away. I can hear that. He's so persistent. So he's providing him what he needs. How much more will God provide you? Pastor, I've been praying for a long time. Yeah, I believe that. And I don't see the answer. That could be. That's also scriptural. So that's encouraging, isn't it? We find examples in Scripture. How long did Abram pray or wait for a child with Sarah, his wife? Years, decades. But he is called the father of all that believe by faith. So faith has to do with wait. Wait for the Lord. No, not sitting back and we'll see what happens. Prayer is not something like you go for fishing and you will see, you know, maybe I catch something or maybe not. We give it a try. No, that's not prayer. Prayer is like a mother and her child is not yet home. And so she is waiting for a child and she's looking through the window and she is having expectation. He will come. I don't know what time he will come. I don't know how he will come, but he will come and she's watching and she's looking and she's waiting and she has expectation. Now that's prayer. That you know there's a God in heaven who has commanded us to pray and who is a hearing God and who is an almighty God and who is a wise God. But you are right. God doesn't tell in Scripture how long it will take before he will answer your prayer. Or he doesn't tell in which way he will answer your prayer. So we have to trust him. We have to believe if it takes longer, that is his wisdom and there's a purpose in it. If he's answering in a different way than I hoped and expected, I have to trust him. Prayer should be a matter of faith, to trust the Lord. Yeah, and to trust the Lord. Faith has to do with Christ. We know that. With the work of Christ. Faith has to do with true humility. True humility. That you do not deserve any of the blessings, any of the gifts of the Lord. If you are at that humble spot, God cannot do wrong. You will trust him. He is so good. He has given his son so that I could be saved out of my misery. How could I ever dare to think that he would do wrong now? Although I do not see the answer for my prayer, which I desire. Well, the wrong is at my side. Yes, So I want to humble myself even more before the Lord. But not turn away from God. And oh, that's so good to stick to the Lord. Like to hold him like Jacob did, isn't it, in Peniel. I will not let thee go. Except thou bless me. That attitude. Ask and seek and knock. And then the Lord says, you know, you can also think about a father. If there's a child that is hungry, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, you see it before you. He's a little boy coming to his father. Father, I'm so hungry. Dad, do you have food? Do you have bread? And then would the father take a stone and say, okay, you, no, certainly not. Or if he would ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asked for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? No, father wouldn't do that. He will give good gifts. He will give a fish, an egg, or bread. So, and you are evil. And if you know to give good gifts to your children, well, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oh, this is such a wonderful verse. Verse 13. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God will give the Holy Spirit if you ask him. And that is the most precious gift. There's nothing better. Does Scripture not teach us that the Holy Spirit will take everything out of Christ that we need and give it to us? Forgiveness, faith, repentance, peace, hope, love. All these things taken out of Christ and given to us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he's the one that enlightens, bringing light so that I get to know God. The Holy Spirit, he's called Comforter. He's bringing consolation to my heart. The Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit is dwelling in the hearts of God's children. And now, if you struggle with the question, how can I receive the Holy Spirit? Or even the question, is that possible for me? Here is the answer. Read it again and meditate on it. And ask and seek and knock. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. And you will be saved because he will take out of Christ everything you need. So that you will have peace with God and will be with God in eternity in glory. One more thing. It might be that someone is still complaining. Some people might still complain because they do not receive what they ask for in prayer. And then I have a question. If it might be you, if it is you, I have this question. Did you pray for the Spirit? If you complain that you didn't receive what you asked for, did you pray for the Spirit? And the grace provided by the Spirit. Because remember what happened to Paul. He prayed that a thorn would be taken away from his flesh, and it wasn't. Did you ever have a thorn and you have to work? Everything you take, it hurts. Well, Paul had such a problem. He prayed 3 times, but the Lord answered him. He answered prayer. God's answering prayer. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So did you pray for the Spirit and for that grace? You will receive it. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we come before thee. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word and for thy gospel, for thy grace, for thy Son, for thy Spirit. Lord. Oh, it's so full, it's so overflowing. There's such an abundance in thy word. It's overwhelming. And if we are poor, it is because we do not pray. That's what James is teaching us. We receive not because we pray not. Or we pray in a way that we would waste it in a carnal way for the flesh. Teach us to pray, Lord, like thou hast been teaching thy disciples. O Lord, prayer is such a rich thing. It's communion with thee. It's worshiping thee. It's coming to that high goal of why we are created, to bring thee all the glory. Teach us to pray, Lord. Oh, we pray that this word will go with us in our hearts, that we will ponder it, meditate on it, and that we will be, oh Lord, in this new week, we will be living a life of prayer, so that it can be sensed and that people can tell that we have communion with thee. Like Moses when he came from the mountain, his face was blinking and shining, and so that he had to cover it, because he had been with God. That would make such a difference in our society. Lord, we cannot do that, but it's thy work, so that there will be an influence in a dark world because of the power of prayer. Keep us when we go home on the dangerous roads, Lord, and keep us from sin, and help us in all the things we have to do. We pray, Lord, all this in the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.